when they host the L.A. Dodgers. Don't miss halfway to St. Patrick's Day at Busch Stadium. Fans purchasing the special theme ticket will take home their own lightweight green pullover. That's Thursday, September 13th. The Cards, the Dodgers, and the Irish. Get your halfway to St. Patrick's Day tickets now at cardinals.com/theme. There's only one Cardinals baseball.
Bud Byerly was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals during the 1944 World Series, while his uncle Walter was building house trailers in Kirkwood, Missouri. Jim Byerly, Bud's little brother, tells stories of having ballplayers over for dinner, but he especially remembers the beautiful girls they brought with him. And he remembers, later, building trailers with Uncle Walter. The Byerly story is interesting, but so are hundreds of stories and memories enjoyed by generations of people who traveled America in RVs purchased from Byerly over the last 65 years. Imagine the stories you could create in an RV from Byerly in Eureka.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailers.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailers.
Rediscover your family. Show them you care
for the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Check us out at ByerlyRV.com, Eureka, Missouri.
Nana Mama's Pizza will soon be your go-to choice for pizza in St. Louis. That's because Nana Mama's uses only the freshest ingredients, and it's all local. From the freshest locally grown produce to the perfect dough made fresh in-store every day. Pair that with edge-to-edge toppings, and you really can't beat it. Nana Mama's Pizza is a family-owned restaurant that is family-friendly and opens 7 days a week. Come hang out inside or enjoy the day outside in the outdoor seating area located in Baldwin and Creve Coeur. Check them out online at nanamamas.com.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
I'm Cliff LaPlante, owner of Smash It. Remember STLSmash.com. Smash It is a mobile waste compaction truck that arrives on site and crushes waste in 20, 30, or 40-yard open-top dumpsters. My customers save up to 60% on their hauling costs by replacing costly hauls with Smashes. Plus, they get up to 40% capacity back in their container. Stop paying for air to be hauled away with Smash It. The first 5 new customers on a 6-month contract get tickets in my suite for the Cards game on September 22nd. Check us out and watch our video at STLSmash.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Is the theme music over?
It is.
Okay. Sorry, I was just thinking about something that Dan said that was really funny back in 1992.
Oh. that the last thing he said that was funny?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I just thought of it. That music meant that I just forgot it. They just left me. That music means that it's obviously Tuesday, and Dan Buffo's with us. Dan Buffo's visit is made possible by Window World, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues and the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And Mr. Buffa's job is to clue us in and tell us about great things to watch on TV or in the movie theater, or to tell us to run from something really, really bad. And now here to do that is the one, the only, Dan Buffa.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We are doing great.
I have one that you should run to and one that you should sprint away from. I have two reviews today.
Okay, well, Ozark is back.
Ozark is back, and I'm 4 episodes in.
I think we're 3 in, and I was ready to bail because it was boring me.
Oh, really?
And I got a text from my buddy the Rat at the Lake. He said, watch 2 more. It turns around.
I've heard that people are ready for number 3. They say it ends really well, and leaves
the
door open.
Well, I'm only 3 into season 2.
Okay.
So it was boring me. He said, stay with it.
You're ready to give up, though.
I just about was.
Even after watching one?
If 2 episodes in a row of anything, any series, are boring to me, I'm done. I'm out.
We saw Crazy Rich Asians over the weekend.
You see, I have not seen that. I have wanted to see it, but I...
Do you mind if Dan reviews that? Because...
Dude, we haven't had a review.
I almost went to the movie theater. My wife goes, you wouldn't like that.
That is the most popular movie of, I want to say, at least August. It's been
number
one in the
box office. Why isn't that racist? If you had a movie called Crazy Rich Black People, that would just... Everybody would be up in arms. Why is
it like a Tyler Perry movie, just crazy... Poor black people being
it. Why is this okay? Crazy rich Asians.
I don't know. One of the funniest things in the movie is the main character has a British accent and he's Asian.
Maybe it's a tongue in cheek thing.
Right, no.
Let's see how that would sound, Limey. Let's pretend you're working in a Chinese restaurant.
Okay.
And you come over to my table and tell me the special is beef and broccoli. Go ahead.
The special today is
No, wait a minute.
That was
a British accent.
It's
a guy with a British accent.
He had a British accent.
Go ahead. hey, buddy, what's your special today?
Hello, sir. The special today is beef and broccoli.
Nah, it doesn't work. I like that other accent better.
Now, Strauss, is the main guy you're talking about, is that Henry Golding? Is that the lead actor in the movie?
I think so, yes.
So he has a British accent.
Yes, he has a British accent.
Is he marrying into an Asian family? Is that the thing?
No. She is marrying into his.
This is
crazy rich Asian
family.
Wait,
he's marrying into his family.
She is marrying, into his family.
Okay.
And his family is extremely rich, but he doesn't. They're dating. I think they live in New York, and they're dating, and they're going to his best friend's wedding in. Singapore, I think.
Yes, Singapore.
Yeah,
don't ask
Singapore.
Us, you saw it.
It's going to his best friend's wedding in Singapore because he's the best man. Turns out that the guy's family that he's going to be in his wedding is his family's a huge rich family also, and they're like very well to do. So it's I don't know that Frank. I don't know that you would like it. At times. It's a little slow, but most times there are funny moments in it, but it's a romantic comedy.
I'm out.
Pretty much.
I don't like romantic comedy.
And I think your wife
was
right.
For three straight weeks, 28.6 million in its third week. It's doing very well, and critics are loving it too.
Does the girl in the movie know that the guy is rich?
No.
Oh, she doesn't know he's loved it.
No, she doesn't know at all.
She's being introduced to his world, but she has no idea how rich his family is and how crazy and complex and ridiculous they are.
And his mother is extremely, I guess, would be mean and and just doesn't want any outsiders in. Like, you know, she doesn't.
She's probably
rich,
a gold digger.
Another rich family. Yeah, but she has no clue.
You think this is a good idea? I just thought of this. What if a guy pretended to be really, really rich, rent a really expensive car for the weekend, and then find somebody with a big mansion and say, hey, man, pretend it's mine for the weekend. And then when she's ready to say, yes, I'll marry you, then hit her with, nah, just kidding, I don't have any money. Then he would know if it's true love or not. You think that'd be a good idea?
Here's my 16x50 trailer over here.
Yeah, I live in that trailer park over there. Still want to marry me? And if she said, yeah, it's not about money, it's you, boom, you know, you got something there. I say that probably more often than not she'd go, I'm out, forget it, because women like money.
This week's episode of American Greed, which is my favorite show on TV,
you said that.
Narrated by Stacey Keach, is about a... It's about a guy who spent 10 years in prison, and he got out and went on Match.com, and he put on there that he was in the stockbroking business, and he was meeting these heavier-set women and was getting them to invest their entire 401k with him, and he was blowing the money on $3,500 bar tabs at night at clubs, and he was, you know, he was a very well physically fit.
And this is after he'd already been in prison?
For 10 years, right, and he fleeced these women out of... about $2 million. He got about 15 of the women, and they interviewed some of the women on
the
show.
Did he do it with them?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you see, heavy women have a self-image problem. Mm-hmm. So if you pretend they're hot, I think you could get their money.
Well, sure, but the thing is, once you rip off the first one, you buy yourself the nice house and the nice car, and then you go after the second one, and they think you're rich because you convince that first one. Once that first domino falls, they all fall.
Now, what happened to this guy? Did he go back to jail?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He got caught.
Mm. But he got some good hugging and chalking before he went back. For those who don't know, that's a great song.
Oh, it is.
It's about a girl. Do you know the song, Dan?
I do not.
It's about a guy who... Hey, do you... We have time. You don't care if we cut half your segment out.
No, oh, why not?
See if you can find Hugging and Chalking. Who did it?
That was my goodness.
Great,
he was a local
country comedy guy.
No, he was a local. He was a local.
Got on my screen. I've got Hokie Carmichael.
Rodney Carrington. Or
Jerry
something.
Reed.
No,
Rodney. It was Rodney Carrington.
No,
somebody.
No, it wasn't.
What's the chalking mean?
Well, she's so fat, you got to use a piece of chalk to remember where you started. And where you
can my God.
I can see. There's a new phrase.
Hugging.
Do you want Jerry Reed?
Yeah, sure. Like, why not?
It's not Jerry Reed. It's
Hugging and Chalking. Same song.
Okay. I don't know.
Here we go. See how we enhance your segment?
This is a different day and kick it off. I like it.
Her name is Rosie, sweet as she can be. But she dips them scales at 303. Oh, but it ain't nice to have a gal so fat that when you hug her, you don't know where you're at. You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand, then you hug away and talk away to see where you began. Or see. Well, I'm hugging and chalking and chalking and hugging away. I'm in another fella with some chalking in hand.
Okay, that's enough.
The only if a man comes around with a piece of chalk, his hands go the other way.
The only thing better would is have Limey just sing that song one day. Cover it.
That's awesome.
That's a good idea.
That was awesome.
And so, do it out in the patio. So live from the patio.
I'll give Crazy Rich Asians 3 ARDs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Here it's getting great reviews, and already a sequel has been greenlit.
Well, here they are right here, 3 ARDs.
All right, Dean.
I don't know. I'm out. I don't think I'll see it.
It is
this one you're
going to
want to see.
Most romantic comedies make me sick.
But
I
there's
like
some
them.
Funny. There's some funny moments.
Does it sound like? Does it have the difference between a bad or a good romantic comedy? Is writing? Is it good writing? Is
yes.
it funny jokes?
Yeah.
See,
no,
that,
it is.
That can
it
be
is.
Well, then I might like it because I've seen some good romantic comedy. That one where Sandra Bullock is.
While You Were Sleeping.
Yes, and what's his name with the eyebrows?
Bill Pullman.
No, the eyebrows.
Peter Gallagher.
That was good.
That was a good one. That kind of sounds like that a little bit.
Yeah.
I like Roxanne. Isn't that a romantic? And I'll tell you what I really liked. Kristen Wiig and the Irish policeman.
Where he plays
Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids. Yeah. Melissa McCarthy.
Isn't that a romantic comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be a romantic comedy?
Kind of a female version of The Hangover. But yes, that was the blast off of Melissa McCarthy's career, unfortunately.
I like that. Would you consider As Good As It Gets as a romantic comedy? It's not really a comedy. It's kind of sad.
It's so funny, though.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, I mean, when he tells the person who comes to his door, go so crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here.
That's he did that for me this morning by satellite.
So great.
I was talking to him just this
You're
morning.
Talking
this
to Jack?
Really, this is weird. Yeah, I was talking to Jack Nicholson. I said, Jack, if you don't mind, because I call him Jack, we're friends. I said, one of my favorite lines in any movie you ever did was that, hey, go sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here. I said, would you just do it for me? And he said, Frank, of course I will. We're friends.
Oh, wow.
And then, here he is doing it right now.
Go sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here.
He had a cold.
Yeah, he had a little cold.
A little bit of a cold. Yeah, he even messed the line up. It's go sell crazy someplace else.
Go sell crazy someplace else.
No, turn the recording off.
We're all stuck.
Turn the recording off.
Jack's still in the air.
Yeah.
He's in studio.
Can't shut him up.
Well, he's not acting, so he should come in the studio.
All right, maybe let's start with the...
The good one or the...
Good.
I have one
good
that you shouldn't even... When I talk about it, it's going to give me a headache. It's so bad.
Let's get that out of the way. Let's get that.
All right.
Out of the way.
Well, does anybody here like science fiction?
No.
Movies?
Not me.
I do.
Limey does.
Well, I'm gonna try something different this week.
No.
I'm gonna read the plot first, so we know what it's all about. Then I'll do my review.
Okay.
So
we already know your review is gonna be bad.
Well,
you said,
I mean, this is a particularly nasty review.
Okay. You kind of went into Louis Armstrong.
The movie is. The movie is called Kin, as in the Patrick Swayze film Next of Kin. And it is about a young man chased by a vengeful criminal. The feds and a gang of soldiers from another world, a recently released ex-con, and his adopted teenage brother are forced to go on the run with a weapon of mysterious origin as their only protection.
That sounds horrible.
It is. And so you have two brothers that are on the run. They have this criminal played by James Franco, who is the only person having fun here. You know where, I guess, an A-list actor goes, I'm going to do this incredibly stupid movie. I guess he got paid a lot of money.
Well, first he wants to get off that Me Too list, so
yeah.
He did it because nobody else will hire him because supposedly he's a, you know, sex offender.
The writing is terrible. I mean, this is the movie that gets unintentional laughs. It is directed by Jonathan and Josh Baker.
Oh, so they're laughing at for the wrong reason.
It's a bad plot. And these guys, it's from the producers of Stranger Things on Netflix and Arrival, the great Amy Adams movie. But these
He said Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm. Amy Adams, yeah. Great movie. So yeah, it gave me hope, but the writing is so bad. And I don't know if you guys, hopefully you didn't see the fourth Transformers movie with Jack Rayner. Yeah. He played the Irish guy who was dating Mark Wahlberg's daughter. He's in this movie, and he may be the worst actor. I thought Liam Hemsworth was a bad actor, a guy who can't emote. He has one expression.
But he's so good-looking that he doesn't have to be.
He doesn't. This guy's not.
Still like it.
This guy's not good-looking. He's like a very rough Colin Farrell, which is not good for him.
Mm.
He plays the older brother, and his younger brother has access. He's the only one that can fire this alien weapon. And they're on the run from James Franco, who the older brother owes money to. And so the whole movie, they're chasing these guys. And, you know, it's not like you have Carrie Coon, who was on The Leftovers. She's a good actress. James Franco
is good. Is she good looking?
She's okay looking. She's kind of like maybe a nice math teacher looking, but not. I wouldn't call her sexy.
That's
she's
a very interesting description.
She's
nice,
pretty.
Nice math teacher.
But nothing you're going to get thrown out of school for, let's put it that way.
I had an American history teacher. No, I'm sorry, it was a math teacher in high school who was doing it with one of the guys in our class.
Really?
Yeah, he was 15. Whoa. Or 16.
If she makes more of these, she's going to be doing that in a school because this is not worth her time.
Wow.
There's unintentional humor. Jack Rayner is terrible. That's the lead actor. Terrible writing. The directors, I think they have some talent in them. I just think this movie started as something, and then it became something very bad. It's like B-movie trash. This is the movie you walk into Walgreens at midnight when you're already drunk and you need something to fall asleep to with your frozen pizza. This is when you get that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bad. So, but I knew it wasn't going to be great going in. I just thought it could be okay. Maybe I'd be surprised. But I left, and people were just laughing.
And what's the name of this?
It's called Kin, K-I-N, as in there is a cameo by a Marvel guy that maybe, you know, I can just give away here if anybody wants me to give away. It's kind of a spoiler. He's a producer on the movie, so it's not a complete spoiler. Michael B. Jordan from Black Panther makes a cameo, and you're like, what are you doing in this movie? It's in the last part of the movie. And then I figure out he produced it, so he probably just said, I'll do a cameo. But it's too little, it's too late, it's a bad movie, don't go see
it. Let's get over with. How many are these? One?
One, and that's being nice.
Whew, here it is.
One.
All right, Dan.
That's it. You want to know a movie that I think is supposed to be sad and really like a tearjerker, but you laugh out loud because it's so horrible.
The Notebook.
Oh, no, The Notebook is a... Are you kidding? That was a great movie. This is all because of a guy who is trying to do an Italian accent, and he has no business...
Oh, can I guess it?
Go ahead.
Captain Nicolas Cage in the Mandolin movie.
No.
He has a terrible accent.
Nick Nolte, Lorenzo's Oil.
Oh.
Horrible.
There's a movie with Nicolas Cage called Captain Something...
Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Yes.
He did an Italian accent.
That's horrible.
Oh, I think Nicolas Cage was like... cracking up under takes. It's just terrible.
That captain, what's his name, Mandolin, that took him like $8.16 or something.
It was horrible. I think it was Ang Lee did that movie.
Wasn't Lorenzo's Oil about a sick child?
Yes, about a sick kid and like olive oil helps him or something like that.
And it's supposed to be a tearjerker, but then when you hear Nick Nolte, I think that my kid is a sick.
Oh, no.
It's horrible.
It's funny, in Ken... Dennis Quaid, who's never going to age, by the way. He rocks a very bad New Jersey accent. He tries. It's not as bad as Nicolas Cage or Nick Nolte, but you go, Nick, I hope you got paid. I hope you got a new house for this, because that's just a bad movie. Of course, he does get off pretty quickly, but It's a movie that, you know,
he gets off.
He gets off. He gets taken out, and you can see it coming.
Oh, whacked.
Yeah, thankfully, he probably thought, wait a minute, I only have 2 pages of dialogue? Thank gosh, this movie's terrible. I don't know why he did it. But don't go see Ken. Yeah, one, and that's being nice. But the movie that I was taken by surprise, I just watched an hour ago, is Searching with John Cho, who people will know. John Cho. He's a Harold Kumar. He is from Star Trek, the remake.
John Cho.
Yeah. He's a comedy guy.
I'm sorry, Dan. What was that?
Nothing.
No, what would you say?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay. I didn't think you did.
But he was in the Star Trek movies. He was in Harold and Kumar, the comedy. But he plays, and let me read the
it's Kumar, isn't it? Harold
Kumar.
And Kumar.
Harold and Kumar, yeah. But John Cho, he's a comedy guy. And so this movie, I'll read this plot. It's about after his 16-year-old daughter goes missing, a desperate father breaks into her laptop to look up for clues to find her. It is called Searching. It is a movie that is low budget, and it's very well done. And it uses all the social medias. Think about how we communicate these days. Phones, laptops. Has anybody ever saw the 2014 film called Unfriended?
No.
It's told from inside like a mock computer screen. This is the same thing. The whole movie is told from the perspective of a computer. John Cho plays a guy, normal guy. His 16-year-old daughter goes missing. He turns to the police, but instead of doing that, he goes into his daughter's computer. He goes into her email and her Facebook and through social media, which is very timely because that's how all the kids communicate these days. He finds clues. And this is a movie where...
Tom Cruise?
This is a movie where you think...
What, Frank?
This is a movie where you think it's going one way, but it's got so many twists to it. Like, right when you think they found out what happened to her, something else happens. And again, when I saw the trailer for this film, I thought it looked stupid. I thought you have this comedy actor who has never done a drama. I mean, John Cho is probably 36 years old, and he's never done one drama. He's playing a very dramatic role, a guy whose daughter has been, he doesn't know, kidnapped, ran away, but through her own daughter's email and social media, he finds out what happened to her. Right when you think you know what happens, another twist comes up. It's very good. It's took me by surprise. If you want an edge-of-your-seat thriller, think about the movies you talk to the screen on, where you tell the actors, don't pick up the phone.
No, my wife does that.
Don't do this.
My wife does that out loud.
This movie's gonna. It made me do it. I never do that. In the last 5 years, I never yelled at the screen, answer the phone. But I did in this one, because if you're a father, you can relate. I mean, if you have a young kid, even like me, I have a 6-year-old. Eventually, they're going to grow up, and they're going to grow up in all the social media, Facebook and Instagram. And so instead of going to this to the police, because they're not helping, they can't find his daughter. There's no clues. She's gone. So he goes into her own social media, her Facebook, her platforms, and he finds out. It's a very good movie because I didn't see it coming. It's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what got my ear. When it came out last weekend, I was like, I'm not going to see this movie. It looks stupid. But then my critic friend said it was good, and then 92% is nothing to trifle at.
No.
For example, there's another movie, Operation Finale, about the capture of Adolf Hitler's first lieutenant. That's 62%. This is at 92%. And I'm like, how does this do it? And it's because it's a low budget. It's just like Kin, but it's the flip-flop. It's a very well-produced, cheap B-movie that you go into thinking this is just nothing. It's got an actor who I think is miscast as a guy who usually you want to go see. This is like when Bateman does Ozark. Before he did that show, what was he known for? He was known for comedies. Well, John Cho was known for Harold and Kumar and Star Trek. He was good in Star Trek. That was more of a supporting role. Here, he is headlining this movie. And I think this appeals to anybody. Now, I will say the one drawback of it is, if you're not familiar with social media at all, it might lose you because the whole film is told. He is going into her computer, her social media accounts. That's how he's tracking her down. So that might take it away. The whole movie is told from inside like a mock computer screen. So whenever you're seeing the characters, they're looking at the screen. They're looking at a computer screen.
Remember that horrible movie called, was it Her?
Oh.
With Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson.
That was the worst movie, one of the worst movies
I actually
ever.
I dug it.
I knew what it was going for.
Was this the one where he fell in love with the computer?
A computer, yeah. Kind of like a kind of a sidekick kind of voice. She's an operating system.
She's like Siri on a phone.
Exactly.
He falls in love with her. Yeah.
That's the dumbest idea. And I thought, well, what a stupid idea. And I went to the movie, and it was as stupid as the idea. I hated that movie.
I think Joaquin Phoenix kind of made it work. Of course, Scarlett Johansson. If she was Siri, I might fall in love with Siri, too. I'll just tell you how much.
How do you do it with a computer?
It's a heightened phone sex. That's basically all you're getting with the Siri. But, again, Kin, don't go see it. Searching, I would give an easy... I'm going to say right now a 3. But it could go. It could get higher maybe after I think about it for a couple more days.
Is it a similar feel to Taken?
You know what? This is like if he wasn't trained in special forces. This is like if he wasn't Liam Neeson, he was a regular guy. Mm-hmm. What would you do if the cops couldn't find anything and your daughter was out there 72
hours?
But you
were real tech savvy.
Yeah, you're very tech savvy. Mm-hmm. He is. And the thing is, you see that in the beginning of the movie. He knows how to work a computer. He works at a computer software company.
Ah.
So... He basically breaks into his daughter's life to find out what happened to her. Was she taken? Was she kidnapped? Did she run away? You don't know. And every time you think you know, something happens. Like you think that, okay, it's coming to a resolution. We get it now. Well,
you said you needed to know about social media. You'd have to be pretty stupid not to wouldn't you? I mean, you'd have to not know anything.
I mean, I would think like my dad doesn't use any social media. So he might go, what is he talking about? Because there's a place called UCast. It is a place where people can upload videos of themselves. So he finds videos of his daughter there that give away clues to where she could have been.
I think this sounds good.
It is. And I think maybe if you can get over that and just walk into something you didn't really know anything about, and you wouldn't, this is not a sequel, it's not a remake, it's not a comic book movie, it is just a father looking for his daughter. And I think a lot of people can really relate to that. And again, for me, I didn't see it coming because I thought the trailer, again, the preview looked bad. And previews these days, well, how many movies come out per year? A couple hundred, 300 movies, 400.
Well, sometimes I can't understand how a trailer can be so bad and then the movie's actually good. Or a trailer is the best part of the movie.
Speaking of Joaquin Phoenix, the movie is horrible,
but they took out just enough to make a great trailer.
There was a Joaquin Phoenix film with John Travolta called Ladder 49.
Yes.
That I thought was great, but the preview was bad.
Yeah, I remember that.
The preview was, it was like a TV movie, and then the movie comes out, and it's very, it was kind of a tribute to 9/11. It was a very well done movie.
It was really good.
But Searching...
Yeah, we'll give them that lad over there and bring it over here. And the clip of John Travolta saying, bring me that ladder.
That was before Gotti, which may have ended his career. But Searching, definitely go see it. I would think if you're a John Cho fan, you'll like it, because I think he's got my eye now. I thought he was capable of one thing, comedy. Now he is capable of carrying a movie. This whole movie's on him. I mean,
what's the name of it?
It's called Searching. It just came out, I think, last week.
ARDs.
ARDs 3, but it may go up. We may have to revisit this 2 weeks later.
All right, here we go.
All right, Dean.
Now, this is where we break. Quick break.
Okay.
We come back, and then we'll do a little TV talk.
I don't really have an Uber story, but I have some more TV and news talk.
Okay, good. We'll talk Ozark or whatever else. Ray Donovan's coming back pretty soon, right?
It's coming back in early October.
Okay, we'll kick that around, some other TV stuff. I have the great privilege of talking to anyone listening who... You've put this off now for a couple of years. You know your windows are crap and they're going bad. And as hot as it's been, the air conditioning is working overtime because the heat's still coming in around the windows. It's time for new windows. It's just inevitable. It's like a roof. No, I don't think anybody puts on a roof that lasts forever. I don't know about those tile roofs in California that are, you know, they're adobe type. Maybe they do. I don't know. But windows don't. Carpeting doesn't. Heating and cooling system eventually has to be replaced in windows. Because unless you put in the world's greatest windows at the time the home is built, they are going to go bad. They'll fog up because the seal gets broken between the couple of panes of glass, or they just start, you know, leaking out that cool air that you're paying dearly for. Letting it go outside and trying to cool off the outdoors, you don't need that. So let's face it, at some point you're going to have to do what you're going to have to do, and that's get new windows. Now, I don't know how many window companies there are. Lots. Only two companies that make replacement windows have the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. The other one is more expensive. This one's much more reasonable, and it has the same Good Housekeeping seal of approval. It also has a tremendous lifetime warranty. It is the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. It is the number one selling window in the United States, replacement window in the United States. And the reason that homes have windows that have to be replaced is that home builders, nothing against builders, but look, the truth is there's a reason that the term builder grade was created. And it's not a flattering term. It's not a term that means high quality. It just means it'll get you by. You're buying a new house. Yeah, you'll have a brand new heating and cooling system, but it'll be entry level. It'll be just enough to sort of do the job. But if you thought to say, I want to upgrade that system, it's funny to me, the one thing people seem to always upgrade right away, I want better padding and carpeting. That's what they say. I want upgraded carpeting and thicker padding. And now we're seeing a time where carpeting is, my goodness, nobody even wants carpeting anymore. It's all hardwood floors or tile. But windows, you're going to always have windows, and unless you upgrade the windows, they'll have to be replaced. Might I recommend the one that more people buy than any other replacement window in this country? And that's Window World. Again, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, and you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com.
All right, let's check traffic now. Here's Joe Sonderman.
Couple of incidents reported. An accident on the ramp from southbound 55 to 255, 270. That's reported to be on the right side of the ramp. Northbound Lindbergh at Elm, a report of an injury accident. Haven't been able to confirm that one. Otherwise, pretty normal as far as rush hour delays are concerned. Worried about another sleepless night? Instead, try new ZQuil Pure Z's melatonin gummies. ZQuil Pure Z's is drug-free with an optimal dose of melatonin and a unique blend of botanicals like lavender and chamomile that'll help you fall asleep naturally and wake up with no next day grogginess. I'm Joe Sonderman. That's the latest total traffic. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
I'm Cliff LaPlante, owner of Smash It. Remember, STLSmash.com. Smash It is a mobile waste compaction truck that arrives on site and crushes waste in 20, 30, or 40-yard open-top dumpsters. My customers save up to 60% on their hauling costs by replacing costly hauls with Smashes. Plus, they get up to 40% capacity back in their container. Stop paying for air to be hauled away with Smash It. The first 5 new customers on a 6-month contract get tickets in my suite for the Cards game on September 22nd. Check us out and watch our video at STLSmash.com.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be alive.
Yeah, sometimes I think I can sing if I sing as somebody else. That makes sense? It's like, then I can be on key.
Yeah.
But if I try to sing as myself, no good. Dan Buffa's with us, as he is every Tuesday, talk about movies, TV shows. Ozark, they have released the second season, is that right?
Second season, all 10 episodes. Yeah. I like 10. Some shows do 13 on Netflix. Some shows do 12. I think 8's a little bit too short, but I think 10 is the perfect amount, and that's what both seasons are. 10 episodes, they're all available.
You know, there's a town called Camden. You know where Camden, Missouri is? Lake of the Ozarks. It's next to Osage Beach.
Okay. Yeah.
Camdenton, sorry. And they have an amphitheater. They had a showing, apparently. People brought their coolers and went and sat outside the amphitheater, and they had a showing of the entire Ozark season, the second season, because it's in the heart of Lake of the Ozarks, which I thought was a pretty good idea.
Don't you ever wonder, though, I mean, are they just filming some of it in the Ozarks?
Oh, it's mostly filmed in Georgia.
Yeah, most in Georgia. Yeah,
very little of it.
Do you spend time going, okay, which parts?
Yes.
That's what I do.
Yes.
I'll go, that looks like the Ozarks, but it could just be a green. It could be a green screen. It could be a CGI.
I got 40 years ago in Lake of the Ozarks, but it's still hard to tell because you go to any lake in this country, it's just a big enough lake, there are going to be coves and restaurants that kind of look the same. So you go, hey, that's the lake. Nah, it's not. I thought that was a 12-mile cove, but it's not. It's somewhere else. It's in Georgia or something.
It's not a good season, though. I'm 4 in. I think it was slow moving at first.
Yep.
Because they're kind of catching up with the birds and they're getting themselves into more trouble. They have to launder more money. They have to open a casino in this second season. And,
oh, right.
And they have to get. They have all these obstacles. They have to bribe what senators. They have to bribe rich people. They have the cartel. The tall blonde. She scares me, man. The one that's taking the place.
Yes.
She is scary. She hops out of the back of that SUV and just goes. Remember, she walks in that hotel clerk and just goes, "Can you give me the video?" And then you know what's going to happen when he doesn't get her.
Oh, don't say anymore.
Yeah, she walks out, and the guy walks in.
It does depict. I do understand some of the criticism that makes it look like everybody like the Ozarks is just a toothless hillbilly.
Very
it
like, sort decrepit of does. People. I feel bad for him. Like, you go down there, you're just going to be attacked by guns and drugs and meth.
Everybody's from Deliverance.
And if you touch a swimming pool, you might get electrocuted by somebody.
Right.
But I think Bateman, I mean, for me, I'm getting kind of annoyed by Laura Linney's character, Wendy Bird. For some reason, I think she's going to start being like who is the wife on Breaking Bad? Skyler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She annoyed me in the last season. I thought, can we off her and just get rid of her, kill her off?
All right, I'm going to stop and I'm going to change gears. I have to or I'll lose this thought.
Okay.
Can we talk for a second about First Man? The Neil Armstrong movie.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
It comes out. First of all, I cannot stand Ryan Gosling. I can't stand the sight of him. He is the worst actor. He constantly looks down. He has one expression.
He looks good in Australia. He looks good as Armstrong.
All right, can you explain to me, and do you think it's a big deal, because there are a lot of people up in arms.
Yeah, could Buzz.
They did not show the planting the American flag on the moon. Buzz Aldrin is really upset.
That would be a great question, because you know the director, what he did, Damien Chazelle, did Whiplash.
Right.
This is the guy who did that movie. I don't know why he would not include that. I guess, are they trying to paint him as a tormented soul who really suffered the after effects of being the first man to walk on the moon?
It happened. It was a big part of the mission. They stuck the flag in the
moon
soil.
As we talked about before, this is like Sully. This is a very, I mean, this is kind of like a guy coming back from a mission, a heroic one, and kind of suffering. I guess when you go to space, you have some kind of after effects that come to it, but I think it looks good. The director's really good.
But there are people that are saying that somebody's trying to make a political statement because they hate America, so they didn't want to see him planting
the flag. I don't know
why
they would not. I wonder if it's just not, if it's in the movie. But people have probably seen it, though, at the film festival, and they're saying this. I wonder, it's not in the trailer, but maybe it's in the movie still.
I don't think it is.
But man,
they say the shot of the flag is, but not them planting the flag.
I wonder why
and maybe
they
it's a big
that.
Deal over nothing.
It
maybe they just
be,
didn't think it was important to show him sticking it in the ground.
Because I know they're trying to deal with mostly with when he came back, not really the mission of going.
I will
up
have
there.
A hard time watching it because, first of all, La La Land, one of the stupidest things I ever saw.
And that movie won.
Yeah, I know.
An Oscar.
That's politics.
It almost won Best Picture. Thank God. Bugsy messed that up at the podium.
I will never understand why Ryan Reynolds is a star. I just won't. He has no range. He's a one-dimensional.
You mean Ryan Gosling?
I mean Gosling. He's a one-dimensional
actor. Like Deadpool. You're making fun of Deadpool. I was like, wait a minute. But I like him. I liked him in Drive. I thought he was good as that
He's
character.
He's the same character.
I mean, I
that
would just
brooding
agree.
Sort of looking down, frowning.
I think, in a movie I didn't like, but I thought he was good, and was called The Nice Guys with Russell Crowe. where they played old school detectives. He was funny in that. He played anti-Ryan Gosling in that movie. He was kind of a hapless, stupid detective, and Russell Crowe was the veteran. But I like him, but I do think he is kind of, he has a dimension that he lives in. But I think that dimension fits Armstrong, though. And I think that the reviews for that movie were great. I say he's going to be up for an Academy Award. And really, the Toronto Film Festival, that is the kickoff. Right,
that's not out till the end of October.
Not yet, in October. And speaking of the end of October, it is not early October. It is October 28th. Ray Donovan comes back on Showtime.
All right. Before we forget it, you mentioned something earlier. This is the story of the true story of the capture of Adolf Eichmann.
I have not seen it. I chose searching over that.
Something Finale? What's it called?
Operation Finale. It's with Oscar Isaacs. He plays the guy who tracks him down.
See, this should be a great movie.
It's just, I'll tell you, Frank, what I've heard is it's okay. Because you're right. The personnel, the cast, the director, yeah. Paul Wertz, who's mostly a comedy guy, that maybe that's the reason. They got the wrong director. If Spielberg did this movie, maybe it'd be different. Yeah. But they got a different kind of director to do it. But I hear the highlight of the movie is when he interrogates the guy. It isn't like he has a problem catching this guy. He catches him, and him and the officer have a verbal showdown. But I've heard it's good, but not great. 62%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Too bad, because what an important part of history.
I think we have to see it, though. I'm going to try to see it by next week, because this week, this Friday, Dan mentioned was the Searching like Taken. Well, Jennifer Garner is getting her Taken. She is playing a mom who loses her family to a drug cartel. They wipe out her family, and what do you think she does?
Takes care of business.
She picks up a gun and she just goes ballistic. She's got the short hair, but she's still got it kind of like below the ears. This is Jennifer Garner, who's never done anything like this before. And who's kind of been, I will just say, she's been hanging around the movies, but not really making her own imprint on the movies, kind of supporting. But the movie is called, I don't know why it's called Peppermint. It's called Peppermint.
Bad name.
See, right away. But it's from the director of Taken. And the director of The Gunman was Sean Penn.
When does this come out?
This comes out Friday. Movies, and I will say this, this is not like Taken, though. It's kind of like it, but in Taken, Liam Neeson was like ex-Special Forces. Jennifer Garner's character is a regular mom who learns how to use the guns, kind of like Kevin Bacon in Death Sentence.
Right.
James Wan, before he made The Conjuring, before he made all these big movies, he made a very good movie with Kevin Bacon called Death Sentence, because he was a regular guy who had to learn how to use weapons and use, you know, physicality. That's what this movie's like. I'll watch anything with Jennifer Garner in it. I just hate the title. I mean, when you say coming out Friday, imagine if you're the trailer voice guy. Yeah. Coming Friday, in Jennifer Garner is doubling down on the bad guys.
In a world of Mexican drug dealers.
And good haircuts. And tank tops. And guns. Yeah. Comes Peppermint. Don't unwrap this
one. Why is it? What? In the movie, I
wonder, maybe, is that her daughter's favorite stuffed animal who gets killed?
Or is she like Kojak, who always had a popsicle?
Maybe before
he had the Tootsie Roll Pop. Maybe she likes peppermint.
Maybe before she kills a guy, she goes,
unwraps peppermint
it and puts it in her mouth and goes, boom! But I'll see it, because the director's made these movies before. Pierre Morel, he's made the movie with Liam Neeson. He's made the same movie with Sean Penn. Gunmen. It's all these people that get revenge. So that comes out Friday, but I want to see Operation Finale, because I think that's too good of a story to not see on the big screen. Right. But
good history lesson.
Yeah. News items. We talked about Roseanne Barr. The right. Conners is getting greenlit. She has claimed she is going to move to Israel when that show comes on. She will not watch it. She doesn't want to be in the country.
You don't have to move to Israel to not watch it.
That's what she's doing.
She cannot watch it here.
She is revolting against the movie, and I have no idea why. I mean, you're still going to get publicity, even if you're not on it, because you're going to be killed off, and people are going to talk about you.
I believe she could have stopped the production of this incarnation if she had called John Goodman and said, John, it's a favor to me. Don't participate.
Well, and also they had to buy her out, because it's her source material. Yeah. She's a producer.
Yeah.
And she's not an executive producer. She's the kind of producer where she has a couple strings attached to the property, but she must have given it up. She probably wanted the other actors like Laurie Metcalf and Goodman to work.
Yeah.
But speaking of leaving, Dave Bautista, who is Drex on Guardians of the Galaxy, he is threatening to not return to Guardians of the Galaxy 3 after they decided for a second time that James Gunn is not coming back to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So now they might be losing cast members. The movie is being delayed. That's not good for it because they don't really have to make a third one. The second one was enough. They're probably going to make a Doctor Strange 2. That's just what I think they're going to do because that's just more convenient. But news that I'm kind of in the middle about. Maybe one of you guys will like it. I'm kind of yay or nay about it. Die Hard 6 will now be called...
No.
It's going to be called McClane.
No.
And
I'm with Lyman.
Here's the saving grace of it. They're going to go back and they're going to make it more gritty and it's going to be like Logan.
No.
But I'm still with you, though.
No, they're not going to... I guarantee you they're not going to do that. Okay, the first three Die Hard... Well, the first two Die Hards were great.
Yes.
All right?
The first one was a classic. Two was good, though,
incredible. Two, somewhat believable. Three, you know what? Bad guys got a vengeance.
The last one...
Very good, thank you, everybody.
The other ones were just stupid.
It was too much. Timothy Olyphant was a good bad guy.
But... In the last one where he had his son come into the plot,
no,
it was terrible.
Who was in the first one? Who was the wife that worked at the big Christmas party?
Bonnie Bedelia is their name.
She was pretty.
Alan Rickman, the late Alan Rickman, played Hans.
He was a great man.
But here's the thing: if Len Wiseman does it, I'm not going to watch it. He's done the last two.
You go back
and you get the original director. If he's alive, get him. If he's dead, don't make it. Because you have to get the original guy.
I had a screenplay, and it was fantastic, and it'll never get off the ground. Die Limp was the name of it. Get it?
Here's the sad thing, guys.
What just happened?
Who starred in that, Frank?
Die Limp?
Yeah. Who's the lead character in that?
Dick Willis. Dick Wiltus.
Dick Long. Dick Longfly.
No. Dick Wiltus. Wilt, like... Edit that one.
No, radio edit.
So yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Frank, I'm going to challenge you to do that movie in a movie trailer voice.
What movie? That was edited out.
No, we got to do it again.
No, it's edited out. It's already edited out. They don't know what you're talking about. It's gone. Never hit the airwaves.
But yes, Die Hard 6 is coming. It is going to be made. It depends on the script for me. It depends on who directs it. And please, don't make him look like he's looked in the last two movies. Give Bruce Willis a beard. He looks better with a beard. Make him look old. If you're playing a 60-year-old John McClane, why does he look so young?
I think that's the whole thing. He's still
no,
so...
No, I want a realistic Die Hard. If they're going to make it work, it's going to be like the first one.
Okay.
Where he is running across a skyscraper barefoot in a tank top fighting bad guys.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to do that. I think it's going to be bad. You should probably skip it. It'll probably come out next year because they're going to make it. Because you know why? It'll make money. These things make money. These sequels, they'll make Die Hard 8. He's in a wheelchair.
And I like Bruce Willis.
But he's still gritty.
I like Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
now you got something. Put him in a wheelchair.
Yeah. He's paralyzed, but he's still got guts and glory.
Bruce Willis rolls on. you're out
directed
of time.
By
I think
John
you know how
Cho.
To end this, don't you?
Of course. Until next week, where I'll be reviewing Jennifer Garner and Peppermint. Ugh. I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
it. We've had enough of it. Thank you, Dan Buffa, Buffa My Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. We're a minute away from the news. That followed by the Playhouse. Saturday, how the yard sale go, Dan? Saturday, did it go okay?
Oh, Saturday went really well.
You can always use more callers, more listeners.
Yes.
It's a fun yard sale. Two hosts, one sponsor, First Community Credit Union. Your hosts are Scott Sherman and Dan Strauss, 7 to 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. It was on last Saturday. It'll be on again this Saturday. You'll like it. It'll become, you know, destination listening, if there is such a thing. It'll become a habit every Saturday morning. Here's what else I hope will become a habit, and that is banking regularly at First Community Credit Union. I was in today. Morgan waited on me at the teller's window. And the lady behind me had some popcorn and was really enjoying it as she stood in line, and you will too. And even if you're not already a member, tell them the popcorn is on us. Folks, this is a great place to bank. I can't be the only person that thinks that because thousands and thousands and thousands of other people have left their other banks and now do all their banking at the largest credit union in the St. Louis area, First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations, headquarters in Chesterfield Valley. And if you want to know more, firstcommunity.com. Please stay right where you are. Yet another joke not told since we've been at this station. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone, from the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. It is 90 degrees outside. That is today's high under sunny skies in downtown St. Louis. Straight up 5 o'clock. We're just minutes away from Pinion's Playhouse. The third and final hour of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O. Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way and two traffic updates.